I'm Will Harris, and today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by White Oak Pastures. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food. Culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. With my Below the Mason-Dixon charm, I spotlight the culture of the food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today we'll be talking my weekend event, aka the Great Googa Mooga, food photography, and the Newlywed Cookbook. So happy Monday, folks. If you're not in New York City, this weekend was gorgeous in New York. If you're on the West Coast, I don't know how the weather was. I haven't really paid any attention. But the hottest thing in New York City or in Brooklyn, for sure, was the Great Googa Mooga. I'm going to give you my version of the good, the bad, and the ugly at the Great Googa Mooga. Okay, so what should I start with? The ugly. Wow. The ugly, for sure, is the Facebook streams, aka the hashtag on Twitter. If you go to Googa Mooga, it is hilarious. The jokes and people being pissed about Googa Mooga, I swear, you just get caught up in, you know, reading the tweets for like hours. So I would definitely say that is the ugly from the Great Googa Mooga. The bad is I emceed Just Food's Great CSA Smackdown, which was fabulous. But I didn't get to eat any food at the Great Googa Mooga. I don't know, really know if that was a bad thing, because a lot of the food vendors, I've probably had their food before. There were a lot of Brooklyn and New York City food vendors, but I only had water. So I would say that was my bad. And the good, for sure, is that the Herb Barn, which was this gorgeous red structure that was designed by Pratt students and I think someone else, and the Great Googa Mooga staff or the folks organizing it. The programming inside of that was all program, and the activities and the exhibits were curated by Just Food. And I think that's great. So Just Food definitely had an opportunity to reach people who maybe didn't know about their mission. They're a nonprofit that helps folks put together community-supported agriculture projects, or CSAs. And I was actually really honored to be able to MC the Great Smackdown. Kathy Irway and Andrea Beeman competed. Andrea won. It was a great time. So that definitely was a good of the Great Googa Mooga. You can Google it. You can go on Twitter. You can go on Facebook. You can see people's comments. I did a blog post called The Greatness at the Googa Mooga. And I swear, so many people have looked at it. I guess everyone went home on Sunday or Monday and Googled Googa Mooga. So there it is, my weekend. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk photography for all the phone photo junkies out there. We have Clay Williams in the studio. Keep listening. We'll be back in a sec. Cutting classes, squeezing asses. Smoking blunts was a daily routine since 13. A chubby nigga on the scene. I used to have the Trey Deuce and the Deuce Deuce in my bubble goose. Now I got the Mac in my knapsack. Lounging black, smoking sacks up in Axe and Sidekicks. With my sidekicks, rocking fly kicks. Honeys wanna chat, but all we wanna know is where the party at. And can I bring my gat? If not, I hope I don't get shot. Better throw my vest on my chest, cause niggas is a mess. It don't take nothing but front for me to start something. Bugging and bucking at niggas like I was duck hunting. Coming out just me and my crew, cause all we wanna do is bullshit, and we party, yeah, 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 bullshit, and we hugs from the honeys, pound from the rock. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. If you're listening live and you want to give us a buzz, we have a call-in number. Our number here in the studio is 718-497-2128. All right, folks, in the studio today, we have Clay Williams. He's a Brooklyn-based photographer, tech geek, and ultimate food and beer guy. Clay, welcome back to Hot Grease.
Thank you.
You did come on. I'm trying to remember when that...
I crashed last year when Han Han was on.
Oh, okay. You crashed the end of the show. So welcome to Hot Grease. Welcome back, Clay.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Clay, I am so glad you're on the show because I'm always asking you, Clay, why don't you do an Instagram for dummies? Why don't you do a photography for dummies? For all these folks that are taking photos on their, particularly food photos on their iPhone, because I think you're the best. Your Instagram stream is hot.
Thanks. I don't know if I'm the best. There are plenty of really good ones out there, but yeah, I've got a little bit of following on Instagram. As far as, you know, tips, it's not really, I don't think it's that hard, but it's really straightforward.
Clay, well, I mean, you're like, oh, just take a photo.
I do see some bad ones from time to
time.
Yeah,
so. I mean, and I have to say, not only do you, when I look at your Instagram stream, it's a lot of food stuff, but it's just like general, I'm on my way to run some errands, and you take the coolest ass photos.
Yeah, I do a lot of street photography, candids, that sort of thing. That's actually what got me into photography in the first place a few years back, and well, almost 10 years ago actually, and so now that I have a smaller, stealthier camera, it's a lot easier.
So Clay, So should I just be walking, or someone, I guess I'm saying I, but I mean listeners who are listening and they're like, oh my gosh, I have Android and I just downloaded the Instagram app. Should people just be taking photos of themselves? Because if I see another, they're like two or three people I'm about to delete.
Yeah, you have
I'm
to,
sick of seeing photos of this, them posing to the right, posing to the left.
Yeah, a lot of people complain about Instagram because you see things like that. I'm very strict in who I follow. I don't follow anyone just because they're my friend. That's rule number one. Because, you know, I can follow them on Twitter. I can friend them on Facebook. All that's fine. But my Instagram, I want to keep sort of pristine. No sort of muddy pictures in the dark of something that says it's food or whatever. I want that to be, you know, actually of good of people who know what they're doing.
Okay. So first of all, some people may be listening. They're like, what is Instagram? we got to tell folks what Instagram is.
Well, Instagram is a iPhone and Android app that allows you to take camera phone pictures and apply filters to them and share them out to your community. A lot of people got very, you know, have grumbled for a while that Instagram is not, you know, not doing anything different than a lot of other apps, but what they do really, really well is bring together a community of folks.
And I think the other thing is the filters. I mean, because folks can take photos all day long.
Right. Well, you know, I guess if I'm giving any tips, I would say don't depend on filters too much.
Ah.
They're not the be-all, end-all. You know, frame your shot, do all these things. If it looks really good without a filter, you don't need the filter.
So, are you saying, because I'm always like, wait, let me take a photo and let me pick the best filter. It's really all about the shot.
It's all about the shot.
What about tips for taking photos? You're in a restaurant, it's dark, and you want to take a photo with your phone. Good idea, bad idea?
It's a good idea. It can be done, and it can be done well. But my rule number one for shooting in that sort of environment is don't use your flash. It pisses off everybody else in the restaurant, and it doesn't make a better photo. I prefer to have, like, you know, just give up on the shot than to use a flash in a dark restaurant where, you know, you're just going to end up with a big blue blur in the middle of your frame. I'd say my cheat for those things is to, you know, use candles, try to get by the window, you know, use an app that lets you, like, there's an iPhone app called Slow Shutter that's good for that sort of thing. I don't know about Android, but, and it lets you, you know, take the picture longer, and that can help too. You know, rest it on something, rest the phone on something, that sort of thing. But don't use your flash. Flash sucks.
What other quick tips for phone photo taking?
Just shoot whatever catches your eye. There's a lot of stuff out there, and you know, out on the street, out in the restaurant, wherever, and you know, whatever you think is interesting, take a photo of it, and you know, and then you can go back later and decide if it's any good or, hey, that's a blurry mess.
So basically, what you're saying is, try again, and you'll figure it out.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I have to ask you. I have a big girl camera.
Okay.
And you know, I do not know how to work it.
Okay.
Please, all these folks that have these, what I call grown up big girl cameras. I guess I have a DSLR.
SLR, yeah.
SLR. Right. Mm-hmm. Yo, I need a class, Clay. I mean, what should we do? Should we just be on one setting at all times if we don't know what we're doing?
That can be more complicated. I've actually, and maybe I shouldn't announce this to the world because it hasn't happened yet, but I've actually been talking to some people about maybe doing a little gathering where I show a bit about the settings on SLRs. So that may be in the future.
Will you be gearing it towards food people?
Not necessarily.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, there are a lot of relatively easy things to find on the camera that that aren't so complicated that, you know, could be discussed over a couple beers with a group of folks.
Me like. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk more with Clay Williams on Hot Grease via Hair Radio Network. Keep listening. Talking to the people getting down at the go-go. Shake a tambourine, go and get yourself a whistle and blow. Good. Shake a tambourine and blow. Any kind of whistle, let's blow. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.org. We're in the studio. We're talking photography with Clay Williams. He is a photographer. He's been featured. Your photos have been in what? Travel and Leisure, yep. BonAppetit.com.
It's true. This month, Travel and Leisure has two photos from one from the roof bar at Eataly, the other from Hill Country Chicken. And I've done a little bit of work for BonAppetit.com, along with a couple other publications.
You shoot a lot for Edible.
Yes, Brooklyn. I'm the event photographer for Edible Brooklyn and Edible Manhattan.
Okay. So I have to ask you a typical week for Clay Williams. You know, I follow you, I guess, on every social thing possible. Maybe not every right. one of them, but you're a busy person, Clay. I thought I was busy. You had me beat.
There's always something.
What's
happening?
A typical sure. week for you? And you're usually always shooting something.
Yeah. Pretty much I always have my camera with me. It's going to give a chiropractor a huge amount of money one day. I always have my camera, a spare lens, usually my laptop, some other things. So there's always something happening. I spend a couple days a week doing corporate job stuff, but then most evenings I'm either shooting an event for Edible or some other client. Or going out and doing shoots for my own projects.
Wait, how do we forget? Really, I always, when I think about you, I think about Midtown Lunch. How do we forget Midtown Lunch?
I don't know.
So you are officially what for Midtown Lunch?
I am just another correspondent for Midtown Lunch.
Okay,
I
so Midtown
used to be the Flatiron correspondent. In my former job was down on 34th Street near the Flatiron District. So I would go down there and eat.
And Midtown Lunch, midtownlunch.com, is that the website?
It is.
Midtown Lunch covers all food related. Where do you eat when you're working or chilling in Midtown? I don't know how many.
It's coming up on its sixth anniversary of Midtown Lunch.
Shout out to Zach.
Yeah. Founded by Zach Brooks out in, who's now out in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
He runs the LA branch of Midtown Lunch. There's a Philadelphia and a downtown Manhattan branch. And then, the Midtown contingent, which is the main site, is kept up by me, Blondie and Brownie, Donnie Sang, Brian Hoffman, Rachel, Anna, Chris. There's a whole group of us there.
And all you guys, when you're reviewing a place, a food place in Midtown, you take your own photos?
I always do, yeah. Okay. Not everybody does, but that's sort of, you know, my thing.
Cool. And speaking of photos, so you're rolling out a new series on your website, ultraclay.com.
Not just on the website, but yeah, I've been working on a project called Food Work that's all about the people and labor that go into the food that gets to our plate. That can be butcher shops, it can be restaurant kitchens, it can be, supper clubs. There's a lot more to preparing food than what you see on TV. And in the age when, like, everybody is on television doing, you know, 1 hour contests to prep food, I feel like some attention should be paid to the groundwork that has to make that happen.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole nother world. Someone really needs to do a serious, photo docu-essay on what's going on. Who have you featured thus far?
Well, the photos have ended up on my blog and also on Nona Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Some of the photos are going to end up in a feature in Edible Brooklyn coming up soon.
Good for you.
And I have, let's see, the first was shooting in the kitchen with Emily Cavalier for her midnight brunch. Supper club. I've also been behind the counter at Fleischer's in Park Slope, Stoneholm Wine Bar in Fort Greene, Little Brother, the barbecue shop in from people who do peaches. And just last week on Nona Brooklyn, we published one on Uminom, which is the Filipino place in Bed-Stuy.
Wait.
Yeah, I know.
Wait a minute, Clay. How did I miss that? Bed-Stuy? I thought I'm the food mayor of Bed-Stuy. What street is that on?
It's on DeKalb, just off of Classen.
Oh, no. I do know about this. Sorry. Yeah. I just haven't gone. Yeah. So I need to check that out. So yeah, that's on Nona Brooklyn. Where can we see that?
Nona Brooklyn. It went up last Friday morning.
Oh, okay. So that's what, Friday is a day. Sometimes people don't catch up on their blog reading. Okay. So go to Nona Brooklyn, check that out. So I just mentioned Bed-Stuy. So we have to shout out Bed-Stuy, what we're doing. We partnered up, me, you, Alicia, Miranda. We're doing a Bed-Stuy crawl series.
Yeah. The next one is June 2nd along Lewis Avenue. And we have confirmed for the Bed-Stuy crawl the new bar at Peaches. In the old Bed-Stuy space.
We got to tell these people what is Bed-Stuy crawl thing.
Oh, sure.
We have to tell them what it is.
It is a crawl set up for up to or around 50 people. Everybody can come in and find out some of the better places and foods in better places to eat and drink in Bed-Stuy, neighborhood I've lived in for almost 30 years. And
home of Biggie.
Yeah,
today's his birthday.
Yeah, apparently. And just to give an inside perspective to what's a really great up and coming neighborhood that has long been ignored considered to be a place that that is undesirable. There's a lot going on right now. It's very exciting. A lot of new restaurants, a lot of new bars happening, popping up in the area, and we just want to support them.
Yeah, I think it's definitely been a long cultural destination for people, and then people forget about it. But the food stuff is definitely bringing it to the surface, and we're taking it to a whole another level by giving folks something to do and curating a great experience. And you're documenting it via,
of course,
photos, plenty of photos of the Bed-Stuy crawl. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. See, we could talk. As I say all the time, you're one of the tallest people that I know that I can talk about food over and over and over again. You got to have to come back on the show again.
Absolutely.
And we need to do something. We need to do this Instagram dum-dum phone photo offline something.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, Clay. All thanks for coming on Hot Grease via Heritage Radio Network. Oh, give people your Twitter handle and all that good stuff.
I can be found pretty much everywhere on the internet as Ultra Clay. That's on Twitter, that's on Pinterest, that's on, you know, wherever else. Look for me there and you'll find photos, food, and, you know, who knows what else.
There you have it, Ultra Clay, y'all. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk the Newlywed Cookbook with Sarah Copeland. Keep listening to Hot Greases on Heritage Radio Network.
White Oak Pastures is a 146-year-old multi-generational family farm that works in cooperation with nature to produce artisan meat that is safe, healthy, nutritious, and good to eat. Without fail, we ensure that our production practices are economically practical, ecologically sustainable, and that the animals are always humanely treated. We never falter in our determination to conduct our business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is executive produced by Jack Inslee and myself and engineered by Joe G. This program is being sponsored by my favorite farm in Georgia, White Oak Pastures. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as HeritageRadioNetwork.com. All right, folks, we're like 7 days before the unofficial start of summer. And in the studio to talk her new book and tips and tidbits for picnicking is Sarah Copeland. Sarah is based in New York City, is a cookbook author, a gardener, and mother to a baby girl named Greta. Welcome.
That's right.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here. It's so much fun here.
Can you believe we're halfway through the year?
No, I can't believe
it. It's crazy, right?
It's amazing. This weather has been incredible for gardeners.
It's totally amazing. I am so glad that you're on the show. I love your book. I love everything about your brand, and I'm so excited that you can come on and talk about picnics, what folks need to do with picnics. And what's really cool about this is you have a whole section in your book.
I'm big on picnics.
Oh, so let me ask you this before we start talking about the picnics. The whole premise to the Newlywed Cookbook, how did that come about?
Well, I met my editor, Bill LeBlanc, about the same time I had gotten married. And I was sort of smitten, you know, with my guy. And I guess I was talking and writing a lot about him on ediblelliving.com, my blog. And my editor said, you've got to do this with us. Let's write a book about cooking for two and make it really fresh and fun. And since I'm a gardener, I said, I'd love to write a book about that. Can I talk about gardening? Can I talk about, you know, going to the farmer's market and camping together and, you know, all the things that I think make our life really fun? And we live in a little teeny studio in the Love Nest in Long Island City. And we have to get out all the time. And so we eat a lot of meals outside. We go camping. We go hiking. And so to me, food is all about adventure. And I thought that's what the book should be.
So my first question. So when you're going out picnicking or a day out with your guy and your baby girl, do you need a picnic basket?
No.
Oh, you don't? I'm always like, oh, let's get a picnic basket.
Oh, I would love to have a really great souped up picnic basket. But actually, I have a couple of really big, heavy canvas bags. And the cool thing is we live right next to two coves in Long Island City. Mm-hmm. And we love to entertain. But like I said, we have this teeny little place. And even when we were just married, we kept inviting people over. And we wanted to have more than two or four people. And you know, in New York, we all have small places. So we said, let's take the meal down to the beach, right? This little beach down there, or Socrates Sculpture Park.
Yeah.
And so I just kept a bag at the ready in the little front hall closet, and it has bamboo plates and a little corkscrew and, you know, all the things you need. And so it's all about cooking a quick, fast, easy dinner, and the bag is always packed. So we can go, you know, 30 minutes later, call somebody up, hey, we're going outside to the beach to have dinner tonight, or we're going to the park, meet us there, and it's ready.
Okay, so I'm always, thinking when I'm preparing something to take outdoors, okay, let me make sure it doesn't have dairy in it. I don't want it to spoil. What are some of the cool recipes that you have in your booker that are the non-perishable things? And also, too, address this, you know, soggy sandwich thing.
That's a big one. I mean, yes. First of all, you've got to identify a great bakery in your neighborhood that has incredibly good bread, and you want to start with an immaculately fresh baguette if you're going to make a great sandwich for a picnic. And then the other two major tips, Nicole, you want to spread both sides of your bread with butter or Greek yogurt. I have a couple of herb Greek yogurt spreads that I kind of use like mayo, but they're a little healthier. And that kind of seals the bread from all your sandwich fixings. And then tomatoes, which is not quite tomato season, but we're going to get there pretty soon. You want to salt and dry out your tomatoes, lay them out on paper towels to drain a little bit. So you still have that concentrated tomato flavor, but they don't sog out your sandwich.
Oh, so that is really the key. The draining of the drying out the tomatoes is a big thing. But so you're saying only put a little bit of the dairy stuff on the sandwiches?
Well, I mean, it's there for flavor. So, you know, if you're health conscious, you don't want to put too much. But I use a lot of Greek yogurt instead of mayo and mix it with a little mayo or sometimes a little bit of sour cream and herbs and spices like harissa to make a really good sandwich spread. And because it's yogurt, it's cultured. You don't have to worry. It's not going to go
That's
bad.
That's true. So I have to ask you this. You're famous. You're ultra famous. Rhubarb upside down cake, which is perfect now because rhubarb is everywhere, right?
Yes, I'm crazy about rhubarb. It's so beautiful.
I'm looking at the photo, guys. It's in the book. The photos are absolutely, we're talking about photos earlier today. The photos in this book, gorgeous. Did you do all the styling yourself?
I did all the food styling.
Oh, wow.
And I worked with Sarah Remington in San Francisco, the photographer. And actually, this rhubarb upside down cake is on my blog today, Edible Living. So you can get the recipe right there. And it's a special cake. It was my grandmother's. My grandmother was a farmer's wife. My mom grew up on a farm in Iowa and my dad grew up on a farm in Missouri. And, you know, they had rhubarb and all sorts of things in the backyard. And rhubarb was the one thing we grew in my suburban neighborhood growing up in Illinois. And so it was really special to me to get to pick it from the ground and bring it inside.
You've been on TV and everything with this rhubarb upside down cake.
I have. I did it with Martha Stewart on her show right before she went off the air on the Martha Stewart show a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Were you on the final show?
No, one of the last week, though. The wedding show.
Great. Oh, that's really cool. So tell me more about this upside down cake. Can we take this on a picnic? Is this great for a potluck, potluck?
Yeah, it feeds a lot of people and it's great warm, but it's also really good cold. And you can definitely take it on a picnic. And, you know, it's called an upside down cake, but in my family, it never made it that far. It never got upside down because we would scoop it out and eat it right away. But I have to tell you a little secret, kind of a dirty secret.
Okay, let's hear it.
So there's something in this recipe that's doesn't quite vibe with our whole local seasonal.
Well, hey, you one of my friends has this whole thing, 80-20 rule. Yeah. You know, 20% of the time it's okay to kind of venture out from that. So what's the
secret?
That's
a great rule. So 20%, you've got marshmallows in this cake. And they kind of bubble up on top and make this brulee crumbly. You see all that golden brown on the top because the rhubarb is so tart and then the marshmallows. I'm not sure what my grandma used. I don't think she had marshmallows. Maybe she did. I don't know.
I love it. Now, the title of this book, The Newlywed Cookbook, is this only for newlyweds?
No way.
that's just a title.
As long as my editor is not listening. No way. It's not just for newlyweds. It's for, I mean, people who love each other, who love to cook together, roommates, people that are engaged. I've had a lot of kids in my class and people in my class who are engaged or just dating, and they want the book, but they don't want to buy it because they don't want their boyfriend to think you know that they're gonna try to drop a hint. But it you just take the cover off and, you know, put a little jacket on it, and it's for anybody who loves to cook. It's for people who love to share food and really have that kind of lifestyle of good living.
There was a baby out in the garden of Roberta's. What about for all the moms?
Oh yeah,
any mom friendly?
Tons. I was actually pregnant the whole time I wrote this book.
Oh wow. So you were definitely thinking about that.
And Greta, I cook these foods for her all the time, and they're great first foods for babies. You know, there's some soups in there, and there's some great things to teach to your guy before the baby comes along.
Oh, wow.
Like, I taught my husband how to make homemade pizza and really good scrambled eggs and my oatmeal yogurt pancakes with blackberry crush in the front of the book. And he owns those in our house now. And it's so great.
Oh, so this is like the Bible, y'all. You better get this thing, Sarah. So you're on Pinterest. I think I follow you on Pinterest. You're all over social. You actually have two. There's a Twitter handle for your cookbook.
It's called Newlyweds Cook. So I just want to celebrate people who cook together. And that's all about, you know, couples and newlyweds and almost newlyweds. And I like to say never weds and almost weds and forever weds and all of that. And then I'm on Edible Living on Pinterest and Twitter and edibleliving.com.
Yeah, I love it. I totally love that everyone is on Pinterest now. Don't you love
Pinterest?
I love
Pinterest. I'm so addicted. It's like,
I know. I'm really addicted. Even Clay is on Pinterest. And they say the average person is on Pinterest is middle America, 30 plus woman. But Clay, you debunked that.
Well, it's all about photos. It's all about images. So
Clay, I'm going to find you on Pinterest and everywhere. I'm going to find you on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm there.
You're going to see all sorts of little hearts. Heart Edible Living next to your stuff.
Excellent. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on High Grease. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. I would love to come back. This is too much fun.
Too much fun, yes. Listeners, thank you again for listening to Hot Grease via Heritage Radio Network. I won't have a live show next week because it's Memorial Day. I'm going to chill out. But June and July, we have some exciting things coming up. July actually is National Ice Cream Month. And guess what? I'm planning an entire month talking all about ice cream. Every single show. We're going to have ice cream makers, home ice cream makers, everything. I'm really excited about that. So keep tuning in always to Hot Grease every Monday at 3:30 live on the Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Sometimes I'm right, and I can be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. The preacher, the banker, the drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information.
Thanks for listening.